Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 4. Book of James, chapter 4. Let's go ahead and begin reading verse number 1. Let's go ahead and read down to the whole end of this chapter. It says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill, and desire to have, and cannot attain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, there are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest one another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll begin to go over this. Our Heavenly Father, again, it is a great privilege to be able to stand behind this pulpit once again, and God, I pray that you just use me to speak to your people. Lord, I pray that the challenge that you have given me in my life this week, I would pray that would be given to your people here as well. And God, I pray that you just, as I mentioned earlier, we have so many folks that are battling sickness, and God, I pray that you just reach down and heal in their bodies. Bring them back with us once again so that we can worship together. God, I thank you for allowing us to meet. We ask you these things in your name. Amen. So the title of this message this morning is just plain and simple. I'm sorry, my throat is very dry this morning. Is separation. You and I are to be separate from this world. And I'm going to give you some illustrations as we go along. Back in the late 1980s, I believe it was 88, 89, early 90s, my brother and I, Wayne, we were given a Nintendo set. Anybody familiar with the Nintendo sets back in those times? That's good seeing you elderly folks raising your hands. That excites me. And so I was a product of being, if you would have labeled me now, they call us gamers. I am in no sense a gamer today. Some people are gamers. I do have a problem with that, to be honest with you, because I've seen grown men put off their families and dwell within those games for hours on end. And so I can remember this taking place in our life. We're also given a little 13-inch TV with this from a good friend of ours. Most of you folks don't know him, but if I give you the name, Richard Campbell was his name. He was a dear friend of ours, came to this church for years, and got to know him through Jeff, and haven't seen him in a long time. But anyway, one thing that I appreciated about Rich was this. He was a very given individual, and he acquired this Nintendo set brand new, and he got to the point where he didn't want to use it anymore. And so he passed it along to Wayne and I. And I was excited about it because, to date myself even more, I liked Atari. Anybody else like Atari? And not near as fun as Nintendo. Matter of fact, if you play Atari now, you're like thinking, I mean, you can go make some coffee and make dinner and lunches for the week while the same game's still going on. That's how advanced we become. But anyway, as we got this the set, there's a particular game on there that we enjoyed playing, and that was Super Mario Brothers. And that game has advanced since then. And it's not the same, but anyway, I can remember Wayne and I, we would separate ourselves from life that was going on outside of our room. What do you mean? Well, we would come home from school if mom and dad didn't have chores for us to do, which they had chores for us to do, and we got those done, got our homework done. We would separate ourselves, and we would go into our room, and we would begin to turn on that Nintendo set and begin to play those games. Now, there are some things that we enjoy doing. Wayne was quick with his mind. He was able to see the things that I wasn't able to see, but I was quicker with my fingers. And so he would play the mental game, and I would play the finger game. And so he would tell me exactly where to go because he's seen things that I couldn't see, and we're able to figure out a lot of those secrets. But it took a lot of separation from family time, from anything else that was going on. And we came down to the point where we actually defeated Super Mario. We saved the princess. And I know you guys are just thrilled and excited about that. But that was an exciting time in our life. If we knew how not pretty she was going to be, we probably wouldn't have saved her. But anyway, that's a whole different story. I'm telling you this for this reason. Separation in some areas are good. Separation in other areas aren't so good. You know, just as I mentioned, we would separate ourselves from hanging out with folks because we thought this was the thing to do. And we would put a lot of time, we would put a lot of effort into these things. And then once we got one game solved, we would go to the next game. The next game for us was Mike Tyson Punch-Out. That was back in the 80s, and that was some fun stuff. But we sacrificed some things during that time, and that was being the family, being the friends. You don't realize that at the time as you're doing it. You're just thinking, hey, man, this is cool. We got this, and we're going to sit down and just take some time. But, man, when you play those things, time goes by quick. And then before you know it, it's a whole nother story. So we are to be separate from the world. And when we're not separate from the world, there is something that we are called in the Word of God. Now, one thing that we got to understand about this, James is speaking to the church here. He's not speaking to the world here. He's speaking to the 12 tribes. And so as he goes on, he's saying here in verse number 4, goes on, it says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. So just to give you a brief explanation of what these are, I know a lot of you folks know what this is, but I got to say it, is one who is not faithful to their spouse. That's what an adulterer is. That's what an adulteress is. And so you and I, when we don't separate ourselves from the world to God, what we have become at this point in time are unfaithful children to God. And so you and I need to practice being separate from the world to God. That's what we should be desiring in our life. But here's what we seek in life as we're here. James goes on, and he begins to explain this. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. So often, all of us in here, we're all included in this, we seek to have the friendship of the world rather than seeking to have the friendship of God. There's one thing in Scripture that I love reading. It's in the book of Hebrews. And it's this phrase, as Abraham is being talked about. It says, Abraham was a friend of God. How did Abraham get to that part in his life? For this reason, he separated himself from being a friend of the world, and he concentrated on being a friend of God. My friends, that's what you and I should be desiring in our lives, is not getting so caught up in the things of this world, because that's what we do. We all get caught up in it. I just gave you an example of what I got caught up in. And we get caught up in those things. And when we do that, we're taking our focus off an almighty God, and we're putting our focus on this world that is just temporary. It's amazing how our mind works. We'd rather take the focus off the eternal and put our focus on the temporary things of life. And when we do that, we become a friend of the world. And as that is being done, the Bible goes on. James is saying, it says, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? We're separating ourselves from God. And that's not what we should be doing as we go through life after accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We should be seeking and desiring to have one of the greatest friendships with God than any other person that we know. I made a statement here a few years ago, and it's something like this. If I can go back in my memory just a little bit, I'm trying to bring it back up. But so often, people know about what we love to do for this reason, because we talk about it. We tend to make it famous. In other words, you guys know that I have enjoyed the last couple years of golfing, and which, by the way, I did it yesterday in December. Praise God. Glory to God for that. And you guys know that because I'm speaking about it. I'm making it known to you. I'm making it popular to you. But in reality, golf is meaningless compared to God. So if you want to know who God is in my life, shouldn't God be at all of my conversation towards you? In other words, making him more famous, making him more popular. That should be the greatest desire of all of our lives that are in here, is seeking to being a friend of God. Well, how can you become a friend of God? Well, first of all, you got to have salvation. You got to have salvation. Because God doesn't associate himself with sin. God knows no sin. So until we come to the point of recognizing that our sins are taking us to hell, and we seek forgiveness, and we ask Christ to come in our heart, and he changes us, then are we able to be a friend of his? So now we're in this position. Okay, now I have a different identity. So now I can't become or stay friends of this world, but now I got to focus on becoming God's friend. So salvation is essential in this. The second thing that you and I must do as we begin to separate ourselves from this world and turning to God is we got to get into God's Word. We got to study God's Word. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm baffled that we have believers in our world today who have been saved for 20, 30 plus years who has no idea what the Word of God says, because they're choosing, let's put it to you this way, because we're talking about this, they're choosing to be friends of the world. And they're not seeking to pleasure themselves in God. And so the second thing is we got to get in God's Word. We got to know what God says about things. We got to allow him to speak to our hearts in serious matters. And I've never thought about this as a young person, but I enjoy opening up God's Word and seeing what he has for me that day. You know, even though I might have read it before a few years ago or a few months ago, it has a different meaning today because God's still showing me things that I do not know. And that's the great thing of being who I am. I don't know everything. Does anybody in here know everything? Because if you do, I want to sit by you the next service. And so we must have a desire, first of all, salvation. Second of all, we need to have a desire to read God's word. The third thing that we need to do this morning is seeking. We allow God to talk to us. Then the third thing that we need to do, we need to seek to talk to God. You know, I believe it's very important for every single one of us in here to have a very deep personal prayer life. You know, I don't know what you do at home. You don't know what I do at home. I don't know what you do at work. And you don't know what I do at work. You don't know what I'm doing while I'm driving. I don't know what you do while you're driving. What are you getting at? Well, we need to learn to seek God in prayer. Developing our separation from the world and turning to God. That's our greatest desire, is it not? If we're His children, that's our greatest desire. Put it to you in this sense. Family. This time of the year, a lot of people are going to get together, their families. And that's a great time. But we enjoy being around each other. And during those times, what do? We begin to talk to one another. Unless you're an introvert, you listen to everybody else talk, and then you chime in every once in a while and give your 2 cents worth. You know, a good prayer life is something that we ought to acquire. It doesn't start here at the church, and I know we have prayer time for our church. There's a time for corporate prayer. But there's also time for private, personal prayer, going into your prayer closet. Wherever you are at, whether you're at home, whether you're at work, whether you're driving, it doesn't matter. You need to have a personal prayer life. Setting some time aside just talking to your God. I was giving Doug some illustrations this past week because we're going through our discipleship program, and we actually talked about prayer. And one of the greatest events I ever had in my life, I'm going to be honest with you, is when I went to Pine Bluff, Wyoming, where we just, for 3 days, 3 nights, fasted, went out and canvassed the towns that were around that area at that time, trying to invite folks to come to the event for that weekend. All that was exciting. But the greatest thing that took place in my life that has changed me tremendously, I believe, is that 3 nights of no sleep with 3 other men praying to God. And what took place at that time was, one, they got to know my heart a little bit better, and I got to know their heart a little bit better. I got to see where their friendship was with God. They got to see where my friendship was with God. And so if we want to begin to separate ourselves from the world, one, salvation, two, get into God's word, allow Him to speak to your heart, three, have a good personal prayer life. And then I'm going to follow that up with a good personal prayer life. And this is no plug in any way, shape, or form, but there's nothing like corporate prayer. Coming together and praying with one another. And I know that's not all your guys' cup of tea, but if we're not going to practice it here with one another, what makes you think that when we're in heaven, we're going to want a fellowship in there? Well, Chad, that's totally 2 different things. I get that. But we ought to have a desire to come in corporately and be able to share with some things that are on our hearts so that we can pray for one another. Corporate prayer is a tremendous blessing. I enjoy those times. So it says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. We're going to jump down to verse number 7, because in verse number 7 down through verse number 11, I believe I counted there are 10 things that we should be doing as we begin to separate ourselves from this world to God. That's what we need to be doing today. So verse number 7, it starts off, and I went through this list a few months ago. If you go back to July, that's when I actually gave you this list real quick. But I'm going to do something a little bit different with it today, because God's laid something different upon my heart. So verse number 7, as we begin to separate ourselves, here are some steps that we must begin in our lives to cause that separation from the world to move towards God. So number 1, in verse number 7, it says, we are to submit yourselves, therefore, to God. So how do we submit to God? Well, recognizing that He is the sole authority of our life. We no longer have control because we are His and He is our authority, and we submit to Him. We don't submit to no longer to Nintendo, if I can throw that out there. We no longer submit to the other things that I can go on and just give you a list of. I don't need to do that because you folks can figure it out. You're an educated crowd. So we're no longer to submit to worldly things for this reason, because worldly things keep us away from God, do they not? They distract us from having good thoughts about God. They distract us from wanting to read God's word. They distract us from having a good prayer time. So worldly things can become negative in our lives. Now, I'm not against some things. Don't get me wrong. Oh, Chad, you're becoming legalistic, and you're going to tell us what we have to do and what we can't do. No, I'm not here to do that. Because number one, I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not to pass my conviction upon you. The Holy Spirit's got to do the work and convicting in your life. So I'm not here to do those things. But I do know what the world has to offer, and I know what God has to offer. And folks, what God has to offer us is far more valuable than what the world has to offer. But we're seeking, let's put it to you in these terms, we're seeking to become friends of the world. Well, think about this. How do we do that? Some of us have probably already got a schedule for this week laid out for us. I know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I know what I'm going to do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And it all contains probably to probably 99.9% of what you want to do. And it has absolutely nothing to do with God. Why? Because we're drawn to the world. So submit to God. How do I overcome that? Submit to God. Let Him become your authority. Let Him become your voice of guidance. Let Him become your voice of reasoning. Let Him become your voice of direction in your life. So that you can see the value of becoming a great friend of God, being separate from the world, and being conformed to God. So submit yourselves, therefore, to God. A lot of folks have a hard time with the word submit. They have a hard time with the word obey, especially nowadays when you go to a wedding ceremony and you throw that word obey in there, it gets laughed at and it gets scoffed at. No, we're to submit to each other. But that gets thrown out a lot. Submitting is obeying God. Submitting is seeking direction from God. And that's what we should be desiring to have in our life. Submit. Submit means to stand still. To stay. Not to run. and not to conform to the things of the world, but to conform to God. That's submitting. The second thing that we are to do that's found in verse number 7 is we are to resist the devil. You know, I don't find anywhere in Scripture, correct me if I'm wrong, to where we are supposed to attack the devil. Most of you guys know this. I've used her as an example many times. And you might say, Chad, we're so tired of talking about your daughter. Talk about your other daughters. I don't have other daughters. I don't have other sons. So I got to talk about her. So just as I am proud of her, it is the same as you guys being proud of all your multiple kids. It's no different. So with that being said, I got that off my chest. I feel good. But anyway, she has been involved in karate since she was 5 years of age. She has dedicated a lot of her time to becoming very skilled at what she does. She's also spent a lot of her time dedicating mom and dad's money to pay for that. Think about that. It's $50. I've been doing that since she was 5 years of age, once a month. And that's not including all the gear and the gi that she's got to have, mouthpieces that she goes through every so often. It gets pretty expensive. But one thing that she is involved in, and it's not just karate, she's involved in have you guys ever heard of taekwondo? You just did. It is a new form of, anyway, she's in karate taekwondo. That's what it is. And one of the things that I have appreciated about this is they don't teach her to go out and to attack. What they teach her is to, first of all, resist. Defend yourself. So in other words, if I was, and I know Tom, he's done karate. I know that. You can probably still put a leg over your head right now, can't you?
No.
But he knows what I'm talking about because he's been involved in it. But and some classes teach different, and I understand those things. But her job is not to go out and begin to put all the moves on people. I know how to do that because I've watched it, and I totally did it wrong. Her job's not to do that. Actually, her hands, because she is a second-degree black belt, almost a third-degree black belt, her hands are lethal weapons. And honestly, I don't even want to mess with her hands because those don't really bother me. It's her feet that scare me because she's dangerous. But they teach her to resist. They don't teach her to go out and to attack. So in other words, when Satan comes at you, you don't go out and attack him. You just resist him. You resist him. How do you resist him? Have you ever heard of God? You ever heard of his son Jesus and the Holy Spirit? That's how you're able to resist the devil. So as we continue this process of separating ourselves from the world, one, we submit. Two, we resist the devil. We resist him. Showing him who you are in the name of Jesus. You know, as you begin to resist, here's what's going to take place. Because James follows this up here in verse number 7. So as the resisting process takes place, it says, and he will flee from you. Why will he flee from you? Because you made it very clear that you're not his, you're God's. And because of that, God has power over Satan. Always has, always will. Resist the devil. You know, I've seen folks, and I've seen it in Jalen's own class because she'll spar weekly. She'll have her little fights, and she'll go against the kids, and she'll go against her instructors. But I've seen it more in the kids that she spars. As soon as she begins to do one move, they flee. Why? Because they don't want to have any part of it. Resist the devil, and he will flee near to you. So as we move along to the third process of separating ourselves from the world of God, the third is this one right here, and that is to draw nigh to God. I love this picture here because, first of all, it's showing us, one, we haven't drawn to God, which is why James is saying this to the church here. He's saying, hey, now you need to take this next step in your life, and you need to draw nigh to God. Well, what's drawing nigh to God? Seeking to have a more deeper, more intimate relationship with God. So draw nigh to God. But he doesn't stop there, because sometimes as we draw nigh to God, here's what takes place. We get scared. We get nervous because we don't know what to expect. But God just wants us to be willing to take the first step. And so as we begin to take that step, here's what this verse says. It says, and he will draw nigh to you. He will draw nigh to you. All you got to do is take the first step. God, I want to become your friend. God, I want to have a better relationship with you. As you're saying these things, you're walking towards God. God, I want to increase my prayer life. But what we don't see as we're saying those things, God is right here. Because he says, just draw nigh, and he will draw nigh to you. He finishes the process. And so as you begin to walk towards him, he's right there, right in front of you. Draw nigh to God. What a beautiful picture. So let me ask you a question. This week, as we've gone along, and we probably have had some rough circumstances in our lives, some things probably didn't go our way that we wanted it to go. Maybe we lost some friends along the way. Maybe some things have happened that is very personal to you. Because we all go through those things. I go through those things just like anybody else. But has it been a time for us to draw to God? Or has it been a time for us to draw away from God? What do you mean? Well, drawing away is this. So I'm not going to demean God, but I'm just going to say right here, this is God. This is God right here. Normally what happens when we're tested during those times, if we're weak Christians, here's what we do. We walk away. We're not to walk away from God during those hard times. It is a time for us to draw closer to him and allow him to walk to us, to grab our hands, to lift us out of those situations. There's a great picture in God's word that we overlook sometimes, and we make fun of Peter. But Peter, what did he do? He got out of the boat. Some of us in here this morning, we're afraid to get out of the boat. We're afraid to get out of the boat. We're afraid to get on the water, and we're afraid to put our eyes on Jesus. But what did Peter do? He got out of the boat, and he puts his eyes on Jesus. But something took place. His eyes drifted off of Jesus, and what happened to Peter? Peter began to sink. Yeah, we see that picture. But you know the greatest picture of all we see? Jesus is already right there in front of him with his hand held out. Peter, here's my hand. Take it. Grab it. Do you see what took place? This is what took place. As we're reading about it in John chapter 4, the Bible says, draw nigh to God. Peter drew nigh to God. He drew nigh to Jesus out on the sea. And as Peter began to walk, Peter begins to sink, Jesus is right there. What a beautiful picture of what it means to draw nigh to God. and he will draw nigh to you. That is an amazing picture when you begin to think about those things. So how are we to separate ourselves from the world? How are we to get rid of this title that is here in front of us from James? Is the adulterers and adulteresses, we're seeking friendship of the world. How are we to separate ourselves? Number one, submit. Submit yourself. Number two, resist. Number three, draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. I'm going to deal with the fourth one for a little bit, and then we will be done, and we'll finish the rest of them next week. It says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You know, we're to come to God with a clean heart. How are we to separate ourselves from the world? First of all, get rid of all the filth that's in our hearts. Cleanse your hands. Come to him pure. Come to him holy and righteous. There is a man that was in our church years ago. I loved and respected this man, Mike Burgett. I remember being a teenager, I could not wait to get into his young adult class. I don't know why I couldn't wait, because he scared me. And he just had a look about him that just scared me. But I knew he had great knowledge. And I knew he was a great teacher, because I heard of all the things that was coming out of the young adult class. And I couldn't wait to get in. A little bit intimidated, but I couldn't wait to get in. One thing that I began to notice about Brother Burgett was this. He has such a soft heart. And he had such a desire to share his knowledge with the people that God allowed him to teach. But this didn't have nothing to do with any of the lessons that he taught me. And Mike, his mind was like a computer. That's how his mind worked. But one of the things that he taught me was through this. In one of the prayers that he prayed years ago, and I'll never forget this as long as I live. And this has really become a standard of prayer in my life, in my own prayer closet, as I'm away from here. And that is this. He says this. He says, Lord, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our sins. What I didn't know what was taking place, I figured it out years later, but that phrase always stuck out to me. What he was telling us during that prayer was this. See, I can learn not just from the message, but I can learn from someone's prayer as well. And what he was saying and teaching this at this time was this. The importance of coming to God with a clean heart. You know, some of us might ask ourselves the question, why doesn't God answer my prayers when I pray to him? First of all, there are a few things. One, what's your motive? I'm just going to throw that out there. Is it for your own selfishness, or is it for God? See, we have motives when we pray. But two is this. We're not coming to God with a pure heart. We're not coming to God with clean hands. That's what James here, he's giving us a guideline as we're trying to separate ourselves from the world and conforming to God. It's what he's telling us here. He's giving us the examples of what we're supposed to do. So the fourth thing is, cleanse your hands. He doesn't stop by saying, just cleanse your hands. He calls them by name. You know what the name he calls them by? Ye sinners. Nobody likes to be called a sinner. Nobody does. Nobody likes to be called a brat. Nobody likes to be called an idiot. If you don't know what an idiot is, I'll let you know, because I was called that years ago by a pastor's wife. So it's a good word. But the Bible says, cleanse your hands. So we're to submit, we're to resist, we're to draw nigh. Fourth, come to God with clean hands. Folks, if you're wondering and struggling why your prayers have not been answered in your timely manner, is maybe because it's this. You're not coming to God with clean hands. You're not coming to God with a pure heart. You're not coming to God with the right motives. And so ever since that day that I heard this prayer by Brother Brigette, I have made this a practice in my life. And by the way, I just don't use, God, please forgive me my sins. I've gone beyond that, and now I got a list of things that I need forgiveness for. And so now I got to become specific in some areas of my life. For example, God, please remove the hatred that I have. God, please remove the bitterness that I have. Those are just examples. So I know if I have them, you have them as well. So, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Come to him with a pure heart. And that is just the steps, a few steps of beginning to separate ourselves from the world and conforming to God. And we'll go through next week as the list continues to go on with this. But hopefully these four things here can be very beneficial for you throughout the week. And my prayer is that you just don't close your Bible right now and forget all about it. I say this for a reason. There's a lot of time that is put forth by a pastor and myself to give you God's Word. And it's not just for you to listen for the half hour, 45 minutes, and be done with it. My prayer is that you go home and you begin to think about this through the whole entire week. Allow God to continue to speak to you. That's my greatest desire. So I'm going to close with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the time that you've allowed us to have. Bless these folks and continue to bless us in the next hour. Be with Pastor. Give him strength behind his pulpit. Thank you, God, for giving him another day here. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen.